Take our Bibles this evening, go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 tonight. Looking at another portrait this evening. Matthew chapter 9 is the account of Jesus Christ calling Matthew to be his disciple. Matthew's other name was Levi. Several of the disciples have two names. Like there's Simon and Peter, there's Matthew and Levi, there's Thaddeus and Bartholomew, and that's what makes it confusing where you're like, who are the 12 disciples? And you hear like 16 names. You're like, I'm confused. They have some of different names. But we're going to look at Matthew this evening. He was the only apostle believed to have died a natural death. The rest of them were martyred for Jesus Christ. But in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start reading in verse 9 down through verse 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I'm thankful tonight for the word of God and for what you show to us. And we pray that once again you would teach us this evening by your Holy Spirit through your word. Bless this time, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the animal kingdom, you have predators and you have prey, right? And those are two very different groups, and they're very, they don't get along, right? You have lions and gazelles or antelope or the things that they eat. You have things like hawks, they eat sparrows. And then you have things like cats, and they eat birds, right? They'll eat ducks, they'll eat chickens, all sorts of things, right? They eat birds. They don't get along, and you can't generally put them together. But there are exceptions, right, to this. There are sometimes they actually will be friends between predator and prey. There was a story about a family in Ireland who had three duck eggs that they were hatching on their farm. And so they had been watching these eggs and incubating them and getting ready for them to hatch. And finally, the day came when they thought the ducks were going to hatch. And so they went out to where they were keeping these eggs and they found the eggs empty. They had cracked open and they could tell the ducks had hatched, but there were no ducklings. And so they were kind of looking around for these ducklings and they saw their cat walk by with one in its mouth. And they thought, well, that's it, right? The cat got the ducklings and that's just the way nature is. You know, that's farm life for you. But then as they watched the cat, they were like, it's not hurting the duck. It hasn't hurt the duck. It's carrying it very gently in its mouth. So they followed the cat. And as they followed the cat, they found that the cat had taken the ducklings and had like put them in this little place where the cat was laying down. It had all three of these ducklings and was actually like taking care of them. And it had happened, it's pretty rare, but it had happened because the cat had recently, just like that day, given birth to its own litter. It had its kittens, and it was like those hormones just were so strong in that cat that it latched onto anything young and fuzzy. And so it had kittens, and it also had ducklings. And it was there taking care of them like it was their mother. But you go, that's not usual. That's a very unusual, unexpected friendship. But I mean, sometimes it happens. In a park in Kenya, there's a tortoise and a hippo that are said to be best friends. A tortoise and a hippo. You go, I don't know that they would normally get along. There was a cemetery in Buffalo, New York, and they found, people noticed there was a deer guarding a goose who was hatching its eggs. And for whatever reason, this deer was this goose's protector. And so it would try and keep away any predators that came by this goose that was hatching its egg. And you go, this is not normally the type of friendships you find out in nature. But every once in a while, there are these unusual, unexpected friendships. And you know, we find one here in Matthew chapter 9, because the Pharisees noticed one. The Pharisees are there, and they're just watching Jesus. They're watching all that he does, and they see him with a man named Matthew. And they go, what is Jesus doing with Matthew, with that individual? And they look and go, this is a really unusual, unexpected friendship. And I want to look at Matthew as a portrait of a friend, a portrait of a friend of Jesus Christ. And I want to start by looking at why this was very unexpected for them, for the Pharisees, why this was so amazing to them. And one of the reasons it was unexpected is because Matthew was so hated. Matthew, we're told very little about him, but what we are told is that he was a publican. So publicans were like Roman tax collectors. Under the government of Rome, Rome had set up a number of toll areas on like trade routes, on roads and on bridges. So anybody that came through with goods or different things like that would be taxed on those goods. And so Rome had set up this system, and you could become a publican if you were the highest bidder. If you bid the most money for this position, you would get that, which then that means you're trying to make your money back. If you bid very highly for this position, because maybe you wanted that authority and that power, that meant you had to make your money on that. So you had what Rome was going to charge for these goods, and then you were free to make whatever you could make on top of that. So it would turned out very easily that these became extortionary roles, that you would get Rome's money, and then you would just get whatever you could take from these individuals. And so they were looked at as thieves and extortioners, and you know how it is with taxes, right? Nobody loves taxes. Nobody's like, yay, tax season. I get to do my taxes again. I get to give the government money. Right? At least we kind of know where our money's going, right? Well, we won't get into that, but back then they were like, Israel hated Rome. They hated being under the oppression of Rome and Roman authority and all the symbols of Roman authority that they saw everywhere. And this was one of them. And on top of that, they were crooks and thieves and extorting them for their money. It was just a hated role. But it got even worse when it was a Jewish man that was doing that role, because not only were they extortioners, they were also traitors. They're working for Rome. They're not working for the Jewish authorities. They're not working for Israel. They're working against Israel. They were working for the people that they wanted freedom from. So there was like all these layers of hatred for Matthew. People would not have liked Matthew. And it was this national issue for them. It was this moral issue for them. And there was Matthew doing this. And Luke records, and Matthew does as well, that Matthew is having this meal with himself and a bunch of publicans and other sinners. This is the description that's given of this meal. And the Pharisees look at Jesus and go, why is he with Matthew? And it's funny that Matthew's only friends are publicans and sinners. That is Matthew's crowd, right? But Jesus is there and his disciples in the midst. And the Pharisees go, why? This man is hated. Why would Jesus spend time with this man of all people? So it's unexpected because of how hated Matthew was by the Jewish people, but also because Matthew was a known sinner. That is who Matthew was. And the religious crowd was not going to associate with someone like Matthew. The Pharisees and those like the religious leaders of that day would not have gone with Matthew. They would not have been seen around Matthew or at Matthew's house accepting this invitation to spend time with Matthew, because there was supposed to be this separation between the righteous and the sinners. Luke chapter 18. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. Jesus gives this parable about like a Pharisee and their whole attitude. And it gives us this picture of how they thought. So Jesus says in Luke 18 and verse 9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. And look what he says, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. That was how they thought of them. And they looked at them as lower and less and wicked. And they looked at themselves in all of their pride and said, why would I associate with those people? And so this is what the Pharisees expected from religious leaders, that they would not spend time with people like Matthew. They were proud, they despised sinners, and they would separate themselves from them. And so the Pharisees, they considered Jesus to be like religious like them, because he taught in the synagogues, he had disciples, he was a rabbi, he was this religious leader. He did miracles. He taught about God and the word of God. And so they looked at him and said, why is he not treating Matthew like we would treat Matthew? Why is he spending time with him? Why is he fellowshipping with Matthew? The Pharisees knew that God was holy and separate from sin and separate from sinners. Psalm 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Right? That is what religion is. It is separate from these people. And they looked at Jesus and said, why is he Matthew's friend? Why is there this relationship? Why is there this friendship? It didn't make any sense to them. Matthew should have been hated, and Matthew should have been cast aside because of who he was. And yet Jesus was there spending time with Matthew in his presence. And Jesus took Matthew to him as his friend. And this, you know, this matters for us tonight. Because we are sinners just like Matthew, right? That is who we are. I mean, we are just as much of a sinner as Matthew was, and yet Jesus Christ has befriended us. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Why is there not only an unexpected friendship between Jesus and Matthew, but Jesus and us? Because we know who we are. We know what we have done. And yet Jesus is still our friend. An unexpected friendship. And I want to remind us tonight of why this unlikely relationship between us and God is possible. Because we shouldn't take our relationship with God for granted. We certainly shouldn't assume that we deserve it in any way. But understanding how gracious God is to us. So why was Matthew a friend of Jesus? If you go back to Matthew chapter 9, the story starts in verse 9. Matthew 9 and verse 9. Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. It's because Jesus called him and Matthew responded. Jesus called Matthew and Matthew responded to that call. Jesus would say in John chapter 15 and verse 14, you're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And Jesus commanded Matthew, follow me. And Matthew did, right? Matthew left everything to follow Jesus. Many others had that same chance to follow Jesus, maybe not as one of the 12, but certainly as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ. And there were some that followed Christ, and there were some that didn't, right? Jesus Christ was this teacher that anybody could follow. They could go, and we have multitudes, the scripture says, of multitudes of people that would follow Jesus Christ and listen to him. And some did, and some didn't. And Matthew here has this opportunity to follow Christ. Jesus looks at him and says, follow me. Simple, follow me. And Matthew said, okay. And he left everything to follow Jesus Christ. Matthew responded, and Jesus then accepted him as his friend. And so Jesus calls him, and Matthew then follows Matthew's invitation and spends this meal with him and accepted that invitation. And it says in John chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know what Jesus said? He said, if I call you and you follow me, he says, I will not reject you. It's not that Jesus Christ offers the message of the gospel to everybody. And yet when some people respond, Jesus goes, oh, not you. Not you. Other people, yes, you, no. You've done too much. You are too bad. You are too far beyond redemption. Yes to you, no to that person. Jesus says, anybody that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Anybody. Jesus offers the call of the gospel sincerely to every single person, and those that trust in Jesus Christ, he will receive. Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the promise. Anybody that comes to Jesus Christ, he will receive them. But Jesus didn't have to call Matthew, but he did. He didn't have to, right? There was no demand upon Jesus to call Matthew. But he looked at Matthew and called him. And you know, Jesus didn't have to want you as his friend. Jesus didn't have to offer that gift of salvation to you, but he did. And you know, we've all been rejected before. We've all had people who, I don't know, we just didn't click with. You know, and they went their way and we went ours, and that was fine. Both parties were simply okay with going separate ways, right? And we know what that's like, right? And yet it's never that way with Jesus Christ. It is that every time he calls us, he wants us to be his friend, every single one of us. And God looked at Matthew, Jesus looked at Matthew and called him. And when Matthew responded, Jesus didn't then push him away. Even when he got to know Matthew a little more, it's not like he said, oh, changed my mind. Not when he saw who Matthew's friends were, that he's like, oh, never mind, I didn't know you were with this crowd. He simply received him and accepted him. But why didn't Jesus reject Matthew. And we know it's because Jesus loved him. Jesus would say this multiple times to his disciples. John 13, 34 is one. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. John 15, verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Multiple times, Jesus told his disciples, I love you. He told them that. He made clear that this was how he felt about them. But this, Jesus told them that. The three passages that I read, Jesus told them that after some time, right? After he had called his disciples. But Jesus loved Matthew even before he called him to be his disciple. Jesus loved Matthew first. Before Matthew ever loved Jesus, before Matthew did anything for Jesus, before Matthew even agreed to follow Jesus, Jesus loved him first. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. In Mark chapter 10, there's a man that comes running to Jesus and asks him the question, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And so Jesus talks to him about all the things that he's done and all that sort of thing. But then in verse 21, it says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. You know what's amazing to me? Jesus knew what this guy was going to do. And it still says Jesus loved him. That Jesus looked at this man who cared more about things than he did about Jesus, who was about to make a choice between Jesus and his possessions, and was going to choose his possessions. And Jesus said, I still love him. I still love this knucklehead. I still love this guy who's going to make the wrong choice. I still love him because this is who Jesus is, and that is who God is. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us when we were his enemies, and that's why Jesus was Matthew's friend, because he loved him. Even when Matthew was this publican and sinner that everybody hated, Jesus loved him, and that's why Jesus was his friend, because he called him, because he loved him. But then also, there's one more reason, and if we go back to Matthew chapter 9, there's another reason why Matthew was Jesus' friend. It's because Jesus changed him, because Jesus made a difference in his life. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12, after the Pharisees say, why is your master eating with publicans and sinners? Jesus said in verse 12, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus does. He calls sinners to repentance. He calls us to change, and he calls us so that he can change us. What Jesus does is he takes sinners and he makes them righteous. He transforms us. He makes us different. You know, some people will say, well, Jesus accepts you as you are. And I like to clarify that, because I'm not sure exactly what they mean by that when they say that. Jesus loves you exactly as you are. You don't have to earn his love. You don't have to change in order to be loved by Jesus Christ. Jesus loves everybody. But Jesus isn't fine with our sin. And Jesus wants to change us. Jesus wants to take us from who we are and make us more like him. So Jesus loves us exactly as we are, but Jesus is not content to leave us how we are. And for us, you know what? That's the best of both worlds. That is, we get loved in our sin and we get changed. And that is for us the best of both things. I'm glad that Jesus doesn't love us and say, you're fine the way you are. I'm going to leave you exactly as you are. I'm glad that he doesn't accept me in my sin. But he goes, let's do something about this. Let's make you better. And, you know, this is like what we do with our kids, right? Parents with their kids. We love them unconditionally, but sometimes we look at them and go, you can't do that anymore. Like, you got to be different, and we're going to work with you on this to make you different, right? Love them, yes. We don't accept their disobedience and disrespect and some of these behaviors. This is what Jesus does with us, and it's what he did with Matthew. He looked at Matthew, and he saw him as this publican and this sinner, and he said, I love this guy, so I'm going to call him to myself. And when I do that, and when he responds, I'm going to change him. I'm going to make him different. I'm going to call this sinner to repentance. And it's this whole thing that works to make this relationship with God what it is, to make it a friendship between us and God. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we're no longer a sinner. We're a saint. We are righteous with God. And that is someone that God can dwell with, someone that God can spend time with. The only reason we can have a friendship with God is because of Jesus Christ. That's why Matthew could be a friend with Jesus, because of what Jesus did in his life. And the fact is tonight that if you are saved, you are a friend of God. And on all levels, that's a very unlikely friendship. that is one where we look at and go, why me? Why you? I mean, you're great, but you're not that great. That we would be friends with God. What an amazing thing. The God of all eternity and all creation would look at us and say, you are my friends. And at some point, we have to look at ourselves and go, why me? Why me? I know who I am. I know the things that I do and the things that I think and how awful I am. And yet God, who is entirely righteous and perfect and all-knowing and all-seeing, yet he looks at me and he says, I love you. I'm going to work on you. We're going to do this together. I will be your friend. And that's an amazing thing. We don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And you know, there's part of us that understands the Pharisees' confusion. Why is Jesus befriending Matthew? Because we go, why is Jesus befriending me? Why? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him? Who are we to be in this relationship with God? We don't understand because it doesn't make sense for someone like Jesus to befriend someone like us. But thanks to the love of God, here we are. Here we are, able to stand here tonight and say, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus loves me. He's my friend, and I'm his. Portrait of a friend. Who would think that you and I could be friends with God? Let's close with prayer. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you love us. Lord, we don't understand why you would stoop down to rescue us, why you would give your life on the cross for us. But Lord, we are so grateful and we are so thankful. And Lord, we are not deserving of your friendship. But Lord, I'm thankful that you are gracious and forgiving and that you love us. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, to live for you and to serve you and to love you in return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.